listening to Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stephen Pollock is the pastor of Free Presbyterian Church of Malvern, Pennsylvania. The church is located at the junction of 401 and Mallon Road. Thank you for joining us today as Dr. Pollock opens the Word of God and lets the Bible speak.
Thank you for listening to the ministry of Let the Bible Speak. Today's broadcast is a special broadcast for Easter. We understand that each and every Lord's Day marks the Lord's resurrection. But on this Lord's Day, the Christian calendar has traditionally marked Easter and the time of Christ's resurrection. And so today's message is part of a special broadcast produced by Let the Bible Speak. It contains the singing of two hymns by a gathered congregation, as well as the scripture reading by the Reverend Glenn Hamilton. Following that, it is my privilege to bring a message from the closing words of Luke chapter 24 that highlight the conclusion of Christ's resurrection, namely his ascension, and the blessings that we enjoy from our ascended Christ. I trust that today's broadcast will be a blessing to your soul and an encouragement that on this day you would consider Christ, that you would seek the one and only Saviour of sinners. His name is Jesus. He came into this world, he lived a perfect life, and died and rose again the third day, that we might have life in him.
We're going to turn together to read from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we will begin to read at verse 36 and read from there to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 24 and verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, "For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word. We're going to sing now together the hymn, "Look ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now." And it goes on to say, "Crown him, crown him." Let's sing together this wonderful hymn.
Thank Mr. Hamilton for leading the service to this point and for reading the Word of God. And he read the words of Luke chapter 24, the end of that chapter. I want to turn your attention particularly to verse number 50, where it says, "And he," that is Jesus, "led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." The resurrection is, of course, the linchpin truth of the Christian faith. It strengthens us, it encourages us. And as Paul says, if Christ be not raised, we are still in our sin. Our preaching is in vain. The whole Christian message is based upon a living Savior. And part of the benefits of the resurrection come in light of Christ's ascension. These two great historical events occur one after the other. There's a period of time between them, but they are connected in a very real sense theologically. Now, we understand and know from John chapter 14 through 16 that the Lord realized that his departure would trouble his disciples. The young church would be confronted with the reality that he was not with them in person, and their hearts would be troubled, and they would be afraid. And certainly he encourages them verbally. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. He gives them the promise of another comforter to come and to strengthen and to guide them in the way of truth. But if John 14 through 16 is the verbal encouragement, well, then these words at the end of Luke chapter 24 are the visual encouragement. Because they see at this point. We understand that they see this. And as we see in verse number 53, as they watched the Lord depart, they then worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Though the realization of the Lord's departure was going to trouble them, now we see that as they see him depart, their response is worship and joy. Again, please don't miss the reference to worship, although it will not be our attention tonight, but the worship of Jesus is again another proof of his deity. This man that ascends is the Son of God that ascends into the right hand of the Father. But beyond that, we see not only they worship, but they also know joy. Joy. Joy in faith. Joy in confidence. Joy in Christ, who is their Savior. Joy in all that he means to them in his person and in his work. And so I want to think with you about the subject of the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Again, the connection, our risen Savior. Now, this Easter season, we think of that, but we should think of him in terms of his risen and ascended state. First of all, please note with me that he ascends as the conquering king. Remember, they are beholding him. They are seeing him. And what do they see as they notice and recognize the Lord's departure? Well, it says in verse 51, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. It's those words, carried up, that I want you to think about. They are very, very significant. They're in a form that speaks of an action being done to Christ. He is being carried up. Mark refers to it in this way, he is received up. Look elsewhere in Acts chapter 1 says, and when he'd spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, similar language, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So he's carried up, received up in a cloud. Now, sometimes we think of that in very simple terms. It was a cloudy day, an overcast day, and the Lord's ascension occurred when the clouds were in the sky, and he simply departs into the clouds. But I've told you already, the words here are active. There's an action taking place here. And of course, if you know your Bible, you'll know that the cloud in the Old Testament is a mark of the presence of the Lord. And you think of the cloud that comes in the Shekinah glory of Christ, the Shekinah glory cloud that guided the people in the wilderness, the Shekinah glory of the tabernacle manifested as a cloud. And so what you're seeing here is in essence the Lord coming down to earth in the cloud and taking up the sun into glory. It's an active process here. And so we're seeing the Lord's triumphant procession. One man says this, a cloud is prepared as a royal chariot to carry up the King of Glory to his princely pavilion. He's being carried up in this royal chariot of a cloud. As such, he receives this welcome return from the Father. Again, Paul will refer to that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. He is received up into glory. All of this is in fulfillment of the words of Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. The cloud, the Shekinah glory of God, received up into glory, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now Psalm 24, the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts, he is the King of Glory. And so we're seeing the Lord's triumphant processional return into the presence of his Father. They're seeing this. They're seeing a conquering king return to glory. But remember, please, what they are witnessing. As he departs into the clouds, it says in verse 50, he lifted up his hands. And they're seeing this king, and they're seeing his hands as he departs from their sight. And those hands, of course, are mentioned in verse number 39, where the Lord says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself." Again, you will, I trust, remember the words of John chapter 20 and the troubles that Thomas had coming to faith in the risen Christ, and the Lord shows him his hands and his feet, the marks of his suffering, those marks that persisted even in his resurrected state. The marks were still visible, the marks that carried him, if you like, the nail marks that held him to the tree, those marks are still there. And as the Lord ascends and they see his hands, they are seeing the marks of his suffering. You see, the one who ascends is the one who ascends in the victory of his death. Though he died, yet he rises in glory. You think of Philippians chapter 2, the Son was obedient to death, the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also what? He's highly exalted him. We're seeing a risen and a conquering king. He's won the victory in his sufferings. He's triumphed over principalities and powers. He's made a show of them openly on the cross. All of this, and they see this as he ascends to the right hand of God. And the Puritan, John Flavel, puts it this way: did Christ ascend so triumphantly, leading captivity captive? How little reason then have believers to fear their conquered enemies? Sin, Satan, and every enemy were in that day led away in triumph, dragged at Christ's chariot wheels, brought after him, as it were, in chains. Any wonder they worshiped with joy? They were beholding the conquering king in the triumph of his victory. You think of John's tears in Revelation chapter 4, who is worthy to open the scrolls. And as he wonders about that situation, who is going to open up the process of human redemptive history? Who is it? It is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb King upon the throne as slain. It is the one with the marks upon his hands and the merit of his blood. He's ascended as the conquering king and guarantees again the success of the church in the preaching of the gospel. Believer, the resurrection encourages you because the risen Christ ascended to the right hand of God, and the disciples saw that and they worshipped. There are times we feel all is lost. The church feels so weak, no strength. Dear child of God, look up. Behold your ascended Christ. See him in his glory and do not despair and do not lose hope. Satan's attacks continue, but they are of no avail against the powerful king, the risen Christ. They see a conquering king ascending. They also see, though, the ascension of a compassionate high priest. We are, as the people of God, encouraged by the doctrine of Christ, his person and his work. We read the descriptions. Well, here we see the vision. Note what it says. He ascends, lifting up his hands and blessing them. They watch him pray over them as he ascends. You think of the prayer of the high priest in Numbers chapter 6. Again, with hands outstretched, blessing the people of God. The Lord bless thee and keep thee, etc. The light of his countenance shining upon thee. Christ is fulfilling the picture of the praying high priest as he ascends. He's praying for them. But note, who is it that's praying for them? It is the man, Christ Jesus. We've noted the hands already, real human hands. We're hearing the words of a Savior that speaks. We're seeing the Lord who ate in their presence, verse number 43, and did eat before them. It is this Lord that ascends in his glorified humanity. Still, the man, Christ Jesus. Our Shorter Catechism puts it so very well regarding the Redeemer of God's elect, the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God became man and so was, and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person, until when? Forever. The forever union of the humanity and deity of Jesus Christ, whereby he is the forever suitable mediator. Hebrews chapter 2, he is able to succor those. Hebrews chapter 4, he is the high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It's the man Jesus that ascends, yes, in perfect union with his deity, but it's the man Jesus who ascends. Therefore, he is able to give us grace to help in time of need. Do you suffer from pain? The Lord knows it. He felt it upon the cross. Is your heart breaking because of grief? He's the one that wept at the grave outside of his friend. Have you known rejection? He's been forsaken of his friends, mistreated. He knows all about it. He is the compassionate high priest who ministers grace to us in our needs. Are you struggling today in your walk with God? Well, may this truth be a source of comfort to your heart. There's a man in the glory. The ascended Jesus ascending in his humanity in union with his deity. He's a man of perfect knowledge. And he prays for us in the context of that knowledge. In his humanity, he's a person who knows our humanity, sea of sin. He recognizes our humanity and he's able to understand our frame. He's one marked with great compassion, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and yet in union with his deity, he has every ability and every authority. He's able to minister grace to us in our time of need. You know, I don't have time to develop this tonight, but if you study the scriptures, you will see a link between the ascension, the intercession of Christ, and the security of the believer. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Hebrews chapter 7. Why? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ascends praying. He's blessing them as he ascends. And you know what? He's still praying. He's still the compassionate high priest praying for his people. You know, brothers and sisters, our theology must impact our lives. And here's a doctrine of great comfort. In our troubles, please look up. See your risen Savior. See him in his beautiful glory, touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He is the conquering king. He is the great compassionate high priest. And thirdly and briefly, he is that continuing prophet. Clearly, an aspect of his ascension and intercession is to pray for the completion of his kingdom. Again, you see his own encouragement to the disciples, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Christ, again, in his perfect sacrifice, in his perfect obedience, has secured the promise of the Father, Acts chapter 2. And he sends forth the Spirit upon the church. And through the church, he continues to teach. Through the church, he continues to minister. Luke, part 2 is the book of Acts. And Acts begins with the concept that Luke's gospel was just the beginning of the Lord's doing and teaching. And so as he ascends, he's continuing his doing and his teaching. The church in Ephesus, they heard Christ preaching peace to them, Ephesians chapter 2. He was not there in person, but he was there in the power of the minister of the gospel. As the gospel is preached, Christ is there ministering as prophet, delivering the news of peace with God. Christ still functions as king and as priest and as prophet. And the disciples see that as he ascends in their presence. What an encouragement. Are you concerned about global affairs? He is king. Are you concerned about your personal afflictions? He is the high priest. Are you troubled about ecclesiastical burdens? He is the prophet. Christ truly is the answer to every predicament. There is no trouble met by the people of God that Christ cannot answer and address. and resolve for the glory of his name. Any wonder they worshipped with joy. A fearful band, just some days earlier, closed up in an upper room, wondering what's going to happen next. And Christ comes. He says, peace to them. And as he ascends, they have the confidence to turn the world upside down. It is a view of Christ that will help us all to turn the world upside down in our day. And may Christ continue to minister to all of your souls. Let's bow together in prayer. Again, we consider our Savior. As we pray, he prays with us and for us. Oh, what a glorious intercessory ministry he has. Eternal God and Father, your word is truth. And we thank you, dear God, that the truth of your word comes and ministers to our souls. We bless you, O God, that your word is able to give comfort to the struggling saint. It brings challenge to some lost soul who will not submit to Christ. It gives comfort to those involved in the preaching of the word of God. Oh, Lord, we pray that in your grace and in your mercy, we would consider Christ, that we would see him even in this vision as he leaves this world. We rejoice, O God, and we pray in expectation, even so, come, Lord Jesus, the same Jesus returning again in his glory. We worship our Savior, the Christ of God. Bless this word to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Let the Bible Speak from Malvern Free Presbyterian Church. If you'd like more information about the gospel or the church, please call 610-993-3170 or email malvernfpc@yahoo.com. We extend an invitation to all to join us as we worship the Lord each week. You will be made very welcome. The church is situated at 80 Mallon Road, Malvern, Pennsylvania, at the junction of 401 and Mallon Road. We meet for worship on the Lord's Day at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. A Bible study and prayer meeting is also held on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We preach Christ crucified.